Hello, everyone, and welcome to Be in the Know, the ESSEC Knowledge Podcast, sharing the research and expertise of ESSEC professors. Today, I'm here with Christina Alimo and Lauren Wardenberg, both professors of Information Systems, Data Analytics, and Operations. They're also the founders of Theorizing Data and AI, a community dedicated to scholars exploring the impact of AI on organizations, society, and institutions. Fresh off the fourth edition of the community's annual conference, they're here today to share their insights. To kick off our conversation, can each of you tell me a little bit about your research?
Hello, Julia. Thank you so much for inviting us. Very happy to be here talking about theorizing data and AI. So it's Christina who is talking right now. And I have always been doing research around data from a kind of social science perspective. So asking what data are, how they came to be data, what do they represent, and the impact they have, of course, on how organizations make decisions, on how organizations come to represent the world they know. And I think that's a very important connection with AI, because in the majority of the research, data are kind of treated as input to AI system. You know, AI are trained by data, but data have an history on their own. They are also output of very long and complicated technological system, organizational decision-making, and even historical sort of path dependencies. So that's my link between data and AI, and that's how I came to study AI and be involved with Lauren in this project.
That's a nice transition. So then I will follow. Hello, Julia, and hello, everyone who is listening. My name is Lauren. I have been studying AI for quite a while now, since 2016. So it's been 10 years. I cannot believe it that it's 10 years already. AI mostly in extreme contexts, meaning the police, military, etc. And I'm an ethnographer, so that means that I actually go into these organizations to study how this technology is changing their work. And that's how I also very quickly learned that studying AI is impossible without studying data. So these technologies, you cannot see them as separate technologies without understanding what a massive consequence data has on everyday work, not only in these extreme contexts, but beyond that. And I study that from what they call a socio-technical perspective. So both the social consequences on work, as well as understanding the technical details of these technologies and how they change through our social actions.
Thank you so much, Christina and Lauren. So it's clear that you both have a keen interest and a lot of expertise in AI and data. Can you share with us now how the theorizing data in the AI community came to be?
Absolutely. That was in the summer of 2022 when Christina and I at EGOS for the first time talked about this. Actually, EGOS is one of our conferences that happens every year in the summer. And Christina and I already knew each other for years. We always ran into each other because we basically are interested in this same topics. But the interesting thing about it was that we were in two communities that did not really talk to each other. So we were interested in the same thing, but not really having an ongoing conversation about data and AI. So we said to each other, how nice would it be if we bring together our two communities into one where we can actually share these ideas? So that was the initial thought. Which grew very quickly into, well, if we bring our two communities together, maybe we should have our communities be inspired by even broader communities and different fields. So that's how our initial idea, which was then still a workshop, came to be. We applied for some funding back then from the Society of for the Advancement of Management Studies. We got that for the first year, so that helped us to set up the first version of the workshop. And we brought together, and that's the great thing, I think, about theorizing data and AI, is that we brought together people from completely different communities. So we are in information systems. Very close to us is management and organization studies. A bit further away is social sciences or accounting, computer science. So we try to bring in those communities that are in our orbit, you could say, invite people to come and give a keynote so that we can inspire and be inspired by each other. That was the first round. It was very small. I think we were with about 50 people back then. And from then, it's been growing and growing.
It's great to see you bring so many different researchers with so much varied expertise together. And that makes me curious. How do you bridge the gap between social science and AI and data in your own work?
So that's a challenge, of course, and something that we are very committed to. We do it in a couple of ways. Of course, we do it in our own work, and this is also, I would say, one of the scientific spine of the community and the conference as well. But in my own work, this has been kind of sustained by a relentless attention about not taking data for granted. So inquiry around what data are, as I said before, like how are they produced or generated, and what are the implication of it. I mean, what they are the assumption that go into data, what kind of truth data reveal about the world. And you know, if you think that organization now are data driven, you really understand the importance of integrating what then with my co-author Yannis Kalinikos we call social science of data into the study of data technologies, among which of course it's AI, which is today basically sustained mostly by data. And I mentioned also one of the key participants to the conference. This was one of the things that since the beginning with Lauren we have discussed as something we wanted to do. We wanted to kind of facilitate discussion around data and AI, and not to take these technologies for granted, but rather reconstruct the histories, the decision making, the assumption, the technologies behind data and AI. That's what we think of a social science perspective to data and AI. So, which doesn't mean not to sort of look at the technologies or the impact of this technology, but rather again, opening the black box of technologies, but at the same time also inquiring on the history and the organizational context on where these technologies are shaped.
Yeah, I mostly follow in Christina here in her description. And I think that one of the key elements here is also to step beyond the hype thinking, right? So this was also, I think our initial version of the workshop was also called Beyond the Hype of AI. So when we did the first version, it was still the what we now call traditional machine learning, because now we have generative AI, so now the world is different, right? But already then, it's very easy to fall into this hype beliefs of both what the technology can do and what, you know, how the world is going to change, etc. But if you follow that kind of reasoning, you overlook a lot of nuances of what the technologies actually can do, and what these technologies are actually doing, and what we are doing in our relationship to technologies like this. So that was generally our aim for theorizing data and AI, to push kind of against that and really start to unpack and theorize what is it actually that we talk about when we talk about AI or when we talk about data. And to translate that, because the question was, how do I do that in my own work? Well, I hope that I also do that in my own work, right? To not fall for this AI is going to change the world and we are just passengers in this and let's see how, but instead really dig into, so what is changing, but what is still staying the same, and how are we influencing it? What are the kind of activities that we are constantly putting into this, for example?
If I may add one consideration to what we were discussing, I think it's also very important. This sounds perhaps both to what we are saying something that sounds theoretical, you know, and just, you know, like academic reasoning, which it is, of course. And we are talking about a community which is academic. But there are some ways in which this can be operationalized into concrete discussion and can sort of be made concrete facilitation of dialogue across disciplines, which is one of the tenets of our meetings and across people. For instance, let me give you just two examples. One is to be very focused on the phenomenon. So, like, what do we mean when We sort of want to study data and AI. And Lauren mentioned it, there is no AI without data. Now, machine learning, traditional, predictive model, and increasingly generative AI, or this probabilistic model, they do much of the work with data. But also, there is no data without AI, increasingly so. Then, when you start talking about this stuff and you start calling other people with different background to reasoning around this phenomenon, then you can expand concretely the discussion around data and AI and avoid taking both for granted or, fall into this hype narrative.
Thank you. It sounds like there must be some really interesting conversations that take place at these conferences. And I'm wondering, what were some standout moments or conversations from the conference this year?
That's the thing we are most proud of, I would say, seeing this community evolve and also the conversations that happen and that keep on going, basically, also after the conference finished. So there are two things that I would like to highlight based on what came out of the conference. Number one is what we managed to expand over the years is what we now call the pre-conference workshop. And that is a workshop dedicated to early career scholars most of the time, but also very early studies in which people can present their very early ideas on AI and discuss a whole day only in roundtables, etc., discuss these ideas together to develop. And that the only aim that we have, the only goal that we have of that day is that people come out and say, I really benefited from these discussions today. I really felt like something opened in my head about this. And this grew from like the first version of the workshop was almost only like this, but then it grew and you cannot do that anymore. So we needed to organize something else. So now we made this into a whole new at a day at the beginning. And it's just, the thing that energizes us so much to see how people work together and discuss and are involved in each other's topics. And this year, we also had a fantastic keynote by one of our colleagues, Lior Salmonsson, who talked about the role of art, the role that art can play in our theorizing about AI. And to talk about these keynotes in general, that's the second thing that I wanted to mention, because that's the thing that every year gives a lot of energy, that we can bring in people with different insights and different perspectives on this topic. And by doing that, the whole aim is to trigger, right? We don't want to hear what we already know. What we want to hear is something else. And what we see now, year after year, first of all, is that we make the keynote speakers sometimes very uncomfortable because we ask them to come in and speak to a community that is not necessarily their own. And then, so they're in front of this community and they feel very vulnerable sharing their ideas. But almost all of them have come out and said, this was so nice that I could actually do this and that we could interact. And this vulnerability and the willingness of these keynote speakers, like, and the funny thing is that when that happens, these keynotes kind of travel. So they trigger other initiative, other ideas, conversations that keep on going, either offline or online. And that's, yeah, that's super cool. That's definitely a highlight, not only this year, but every year.
So this year in London, the London School of Economics and Political Science, our latest conference had 140 participants, three keynotes plus one of Lear that was called a non-keynote because it was about art, a panel. But then, of course, we have a scientific committee which is formed by all the different keynote speakers that have participated in the conference throughout all its editions. So we have 20 plus professors of political science, sociologists, we have public policies expert, Ellen Marget, for instance, who is now the upcoming director of the LSE Data Science Research. We have Elena Esposito, a sociologist, Mike Power, Yanis Kalinikos, we have people, Yunjin Yu, we have people from, of course, the whole Europe and our disciplines, but also management. We have ESSAC people. We are not the only two involved from ESSAC. We have our colleague, Haris Kyriakou, which is also part of the scientific committee. But we have also Lars Andraschko, Christoph Müller-Bock, and also Alentina Vardajan, for instance, from the management department. And we hope to have more colleagues after this podcast. So, hey, you are all invited. We really hope that we can spark our conversation around these themes. But one thing which is particularly relevant is that this conversation now have also crystallized in scientific project. And this is something that Lauren and I are particularly proud of. And I would like only to mention two. So we have an upcoming editorial on the European Journal of Information Systems, of which we are co-author together, Lauren and I, together with Yanis Kalinikos and Yunjin Yu. And this will be really the spine of how can we theorize data and AI. And only two things I would like to stress. The fact that the editorial will make the effort of making a difference between machine learning or traditional predictive AI and deep learning. So what does that mean for our organization Learn? Do we need to treat these two technologies that we now all call AI without making too much of a difference in different terms when we study their organizational implication for learning, for knowledge making? That's one of the questions which we will ask ourselves in the editorial, and we hope to provide, answers or at least more questions to our colleagues. And the second initiative is a special issue. We have published the call right now. So the special issue is open. And again, is on theorizes the data and AI nexus. It's a special issue on the editorial on the European Journal of Information Systems. And this is something that, it aims to be interdisciplinary. The most important thing for those that are interested is please send stuff on data and AI. Not only data, not only AI, but try to understand how your own research, your own background, your own discipline try to theorize or can theorize about the nexus between data and AI.
So the news of your special issue and your editorial has made me think of another question. It's a bit of a tough one, but based on what you've seen from your own work and that of the community, what are your predictions for how we will interact with AI in the next few years?
So yeah, that's look, we are in the business of studying the past and the present. It's always a bit more difficult to study the future because it's not yet there. But surely we can reflect on a couple of important points. One, I have already mentioned it. We need to be more specific about AI. AI is a family of technology. It means so much. It includes so many different things. So the effort we are doing, for instance, since trying to make a difference between machine learning and deep learning is just one example, one concrete example of how most probably research will change when thinking about AI. The second important aspect is us as a researcher need to make the effort of going beyond the individual level and start thinking more about the collective. By which I mean, we studied a lot and we heard a lot about the impact on generative AI on individual, for instance. But what about the collective? How do we go up one level and try to understand how generative AI impact learning, not just the learning of individual, institution, organization? So this is something that will likely change and will depend, of course, on our commitment and our engagement, but it is very much needed. And connected to this, I want to close with a concrete idea or perhaps call to action, which is to construct a dialogue with policymakers and regulators. We not just with practitioners that of course we know need us and we need them, but We live in an era that needs rules and regulation that do not have to stifle innovation or to close to innovation, but rather help this innovation, travel. And on this, I think we have a lot to say. Again, I call back to the social science approach to data and AI. This is not something that it's only an economist or, kind of lawmaker topic, not any longer. This is a topic for management researcher, for information system researcher, people that know the impact of technology on organization and society and can enter and participate in this interdisciplinary conversation. What happens if I forbid, like 16 years old social media use? What happened? These are not just, economic issue. Really, they are social technical, as we call it, issue that needs to be explored through and through.
If I can add to that, I think especially for the policymakers, there are a lot of taken for granted activities and roles in our work and in our society that for the longest time didn't have to be included or considered, especially because for a while AI was a quite narrow application area, right? But what we are seeing now is that narrow application area landed in our households, and we're looking up recipes on it, etc. So the taken for granted roles, like a manager is there managing. And because of that, we haven't spent a lot of attention to the role of a manager when it comes to, the workforce and Gen AI, etc. Now that's not a question anymore. We cannot overlook that anymore. We cannot assume that a manager just has a managerial role and carries it out the way that it has always been, right? So these kind of taken for granted or hidden consequences, new types of work, new types of roles, that needs to be, to my opinion, also very much included in governing and policy making around AI, and is often not included. It's very often only either about the worker or the technology, and not the everything that revolves around it and that keeps it going.
Yeah, it definitely is clear that there needs to be a lot of people involved in the conversation around AI. And to close off this conversation, I'm wondering if you have any advice for your fellow researchers or even those of us just exploring our own relationships with AI.
I reiterate what you just said. There's a lot of people involved. And since there are a lot of people involved, that also means that there are a lot of fields that we can learn from. And that's also one of our core ideas for theorizing data and AI, right? Let's not stick to our own little cubicles and our own little boxes and then reason from that. Let's not say theorize, just try to understand what's going on with us from that little box that we're in, but instead bring in insights from different fields. Think about social sciences, think about art, think about accounting if you're a management scholar, etc., because they can show us sites that we haven't seen yet and that we might have overlooked. So yeah, get out of that cubicle, transcend, like we like to say at ESSEC, right? Yeah, learn from those different fields and different areas because they can surprise you at with how much you can learn from them.
For our colleague, I mean, of course, I second everything Lauren has just said, which is super important, and maybe also a practical advice, which is what we did together. And find your own community. Like, it doesn't mean, of course, to just stick to a community that exists, but form it if it doesn't exist yet. That's what we did. And we did it out of what we thought it was a need that we felt first. So, like, okay, let's talk. We study two different, like the same thing from two different angles. Let's talk, which is exactly what Lauren was saying. Let's bring together different point of views to understand better a phenomenon. And this kind of phenomenon-driven theorizing, which is very concretely for us, it meant to found a community and a conference, and then launching special issue and editorials and so on and so forth, has generated so much for many people, and particularly for young researcher, PhDs, postdoc. We are very, very proud of it, and we will continue working as we did so far. But this is also the advice I think that I really would like, and I think Lauren to give, to colleagues. Like, we need to talk, we need to share, we need to facilitate conversation. And if you see that this doesn't happen through like canonical channels, very big conferences or very big thing, make an effort, create your own community, or join a community that maybe is not your own, but it can be a community in which you find your academic or scientific home.
Thank you so much, Christina and Lauren, for taking the time to speak with me. With AI transforming society and organizations, it's clear that we need to take this type of interdisciplinary approach. And it's really inspiring to see professors right here at ESSEC who are so engaged and committed to this process. Thank you.